welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Welcome to Turn the Page podcast from the Syosset Public Library. I'm Evelyn Hershkowitz, Reader Services Librarian. And I am so excited today to have with us Lisa Scottolini, an unbelievable author and more energy than the Energizer Bunny. I'm just going to read a quick little bio about Lisa. It's real quick, not a lot, but just so you guys know. I'm sure most of you who are listening know who she is anyway. But Lisa Scottolini is a number one bestselling author, the New York Times bestselling author, and Edgar Award-winning author of 33 novels. I guess now it's going to be 34, right?
Right.
Including her latest work, Eternal, which was her first historical novel. But the one we're going to talk about today is What Happened to the Bennets, which is coming out on March 29th. She also writes a weekly column with her daughter, Francesca Serratella, for the Philadelphia Inquirer, titled Chick Wit, which is a witty and fun take on life from women's perspectives. These stories, along with many other never-before-published stories, have been collected in New York Times best-selling books, series of humorous memoirs. I love those nonfiction ones. Those are just hysterical.
Thank you so much.
I used to have to read over at the nursing home. I used to bring those all the time for them. they really like that, too.
I appreciate
that. These books have solidly landed on all the major bestseller lists, including the New York Times, USA Today, The Wall Street Journal, Publishers Weekly, The Washington Post, and The Los Angeles Times. And for those of you on Facebook, you can watch her every Monday night at 7:30, where she right now is talking about her book, What Happened to the Bennets, and giving away iPads every week. If you've pre-ordered the book and got on her website and told her that you did, she's going to enter you into the contest and you could win an iPad. It is so much fun. I watched and listened last night, and I just love your energy. It is just so fabulous. So Lisa, Evelyn, thank you so much for being here with us.
You are such a sweetheart, and I appreciate that. And I think it's just, we were saying a little before, I just feel very grateful. It's either that I'm grateful or lonely. You know, I live alone, I got a cat and three dogs, and I just feel, you know, maybe it's my age too, but I am very, very lucky in my life. I've written all those books, and God bless libraries like Syosset, because really I've just been supported book to book and grown my career from paperback original. Like, you know, I wasn't shot out of a cannon when I started, and it's a kind of old school way to grow. And it feels very, very, I'm just so grateful to my readers for that. They have followed me book to book, whether I'm writing something funny, like the humor, or something like the thrillers, or like eternal historical fiction. And I cannot believe my life. I still can't believe how lucky I am. I've always loved libraries and practically grew up in one. So that I'm getting to talk to you is awesome.
Thank you so much. And one other thing I just want to say is that it got its starred review in Kirkus, which is not an easy thing to get. And it said explosively complications in the most relentless of all her mysteries, a high octane thriller. Best started early in the morning. And that is true. Because when you pick it up, you do not want to put it down. You need to know what happened to the Bennett family, to Jason and Lucinda and Allison and Ethan. It just grabs you right from the start. How did you get the idea for this book?
I got the idea. You know, it's funny. I don't write with an outline. You know, you can know me for 2 minutes and know that I'm not like a great planner. But I like to just sort of, something will grab me, and then you can't not write that. So it starts with the carjacking, which is botched, and then this family's life turns upside. And that was the idea I had. You know, what happens now? Like, what do they do? And what you're trying to do, you're only trying to tell a really dramatic, emotional story, one that could happen to any family, and suburban nightmare, or really anybody's nightmare. Then they find, I'm not giving anything away, but they find themselves and witness a protection program. And when you learn about what happens in the witness protection program, you learn something about how it began, you realize it was kind of for the mob. I mean, it was for bad guys turning evidence on other bad guys. If you put a bad guy in a hotel somewhere, he's not going to mind. At least you're keeping him safe. But that's not true for a modern family with Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and the kids and the whole thing. And I thought, what if? That was the idea. What if? And then take it from there the way they do.
And the location you picked?
Yeah, well, I kind of picked it close to home because I know it well. And basically, I think, you know, if you write about any area with specificity, it becomes readers, like all readers, extrapolated to their own neighborhood. You know, this suburb that I live in Pennsylvania isn't really different from a lot of other suburbs. It still has, you know, the Wendy's and the strip mall and the Michaels and the things and all the places we go to and the gas station and the drive-through Dunkin' Donuts and which ones can you drive through and which one can't. So you want to have that because the setting now. So then what I sort of wanted to underline with this, that if you want to hear, it's so strange because I'm lucky enough to have been doing this for 30 years, so I have some contacts. So I call my FBI contact, really is an expert retired FBI agent who worked in the witness protection program. And I said, well, if this happened in Pennsylvania suburbs, where would you send the person initially? Because it's a whole big process and we talk about it in the book. And he said, we'd send you to Delaware. And I'm like, Delaware? Like Delaware is 10 minutes from my house. That doesn't seem like you're really keeping me safe. And he explains that, as we explain in the book, that's temporary, then until you get moved to Arizona or someplace really far. And so when I went to Delaware, the setting vis-a-vis your question, believe me or not, I'm going to answer it sooner or later, but you're so nice to talk to that. But the bottom line is, this is a guy, Jason Bennett, this dad who this awful things happens. And when he finds himself and his family in witness protection program, he grew up on a farm in Pennsylvania, in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Chocolate lover's paradise.
Yeah, and that's for sure.
I love it. And he finds himself at the Delaware shore in kind of a tidal basin where the sand beneath his feet is shifting and the water is going in and out. And he has lost his grounding, his terra firma. His whole family has. And I like that because it kind of outlined it kind of underlies in a subtle way, I hope, what happens to this family when they kind of get the rug pulled out from under them, literally. So that's why the setting.
And Delaware is only 10 minutes from you, huh? I did not know it was so close.
Yeah, it's really close. I'm close to the border. And, you know, it's great.
What's the town that you're closest to?
King of Prussia.
Huh?
King of Prussia. People will know King of Prussia Mall. You know, that's...
Yeah, I've heard of it. Haven't been, but I've heard of it. Nothing like good shopping, right? It was
nothing like a mall.
Last few years. How were you during the pandemic? I know Francesca was staying with you. Were you able to write? Were you able to?
My daughter, she lives in New York and in the city. And I was like all of us. In fact, that sort of informed Eternal for me, which was the historical novel. I was just like, I'd never written one before. And then I said to myself, well, when you're entering a period that's historically significant, you don't know it.
Right.
Like that was the pandemic, right? Like all of a sudden the groceries are coming in. I said to her, I think you should come home for like a week or two. I'm nervous, you know, like she's all I got. We're the whole family, like me and her, like get here. And she comes home and before you know it, you know, we got the groceries delivered. Who does that? And we're spray painting it with Fantastic and I'm washing cereal boxes like an idiot. You know, you're afraid of everything. You can't want to touch anything. We had to bring the dog to the vet. I was like, oh my God, let's wash the dog so we don't get COVID from the dog's hair. And, you know, but you just go step by step and then you learn, wow, this is how you survive now. And that got me through Eternal, and partly that gets you through what happened to the Bennetts. Because I think to a certain extent, God forbid, family have a lot of drama and all the stuff that we have to deal with, especially during the pandemic, people have, you know, we've lost people. And we all know somebody who's been really sick. And that happened in my family. But we go, how do I survive this? How do I go forward through this horrible time? We don't throw in the towel. We just figure out what to do next. And that's what they do and what happened to the Bennetts.
They certainly do. Like I told you, it was so enjoyable. I could not put it down. The minute you pick it up, you're just going to want to read the whole thing. So make sure you clear your calendar and sit down and read and love the book. I want to let everybody know from Syosset that the book will be here. And you'll be able to put a reserve on it, but it'll also be available on Overdrive. But the book and the audio. I read the book as it hasn't come out yet, so I was not able to get the audio. Did you have a good audio narrator?
Oh, I'm so excited because I'm an audio person. I'm a book person, right? Like, and that's what's so cool about, like when you say it's so nice of you to say that about the Bennetts, because to me, that's the magic. Like I see you in the library and it's like, you know, a book can transport you. I mean, it really, really can. And you can, even a thriller, you forget Ukraine, you know, it's so awful. I want to think about something. I want to just be taken away. And so I forgot what the question was, though.
The audio narrator.
Yeah. So I love audiobooks. In fact, I just got back from a walk. I walked the dogs,
right,
and it's 2 miles, and I listened to an audiobook. So the
I want to know what you listened to.
You know what I listened to? I listened again to a book that I love. Okay. I'll tell you briefly. Eternal, which was my last book, was read by two people, Eduardo Bellarini and Cassandra Campbell, because it had male and female parts.
Right.
I couldn't even believe how good that audiobook was. And I get to approve the audiobook narrators, frankly. I mean, I'm a little control freak. I mean, they send me clips. I care about my book so much. And also, honestly, I believe in the story. Like, I'm a storyteller. I'm like a people person in a house that lives, I talk to the cat, you know? So I like the story told, and I like to be told the story.
Right.
And when I wrote Bennett's, I knew it was mainly in a male point of view. And I asked for Eduardo because I think he's sensational. He's won a million awards and he's great. Now, the audiobook that I was listening to was one I've listened to before. And Evelyn, you and I spoke earlier, and I never reread a book.
Right.
But I do re-listen to an audiobook.
Oh, okay.
And I will tell you one of the best audiobooks I've heard in my life. I'm just going to tell you, it's the best audiobook I've heard in my life. And it's not my book. It's the Lehman Trilogy with Eduardo Bellarini reading it. It is stunning. It's stunning.
I don't know that book.
Well, I'm going to weird you out when I tell you it's a poem, but it's not really a poem. It's actually a stage play. And it's currently on the stage. It's the story of the Lehman family. It's a story of an immigrant family. And it's a story of American. It's what is it like to be an immigrant in America? And since to a certain extent, my family's immigrants from Italy, I feel that very much. I love these stories. And it's fantastic. And you must get an audiobook. You guys have it at the library. I mean,
I'm going to look. Absolutely.
You will be blown away. I'm just telling you.
And Eduardo is the one who's narrating.
Eduardo Bellarini is the narrator. And
he's the one who's narrating what happened to the Bennett.
Yes, he is. Okay. I think he's outstanding.
That's great. And that's great that you listen to, and that's nonfiction. So that must be research for your next book.
I wish. I love these epic stories. It's funny. I'm writing a book about Sicily now. And I also like, which Eduardo also read, The Florios of Sicily, which is another story about an immigrant family. And also there's a Jewish angle, because what happened in Sicily, long story short, is that during the Inquisition, Jews and Muslims were actually expelled from Sicily. So much so that there's almost no Jewish population there now. That's incredible. So I kind of wanted to explore that, because I'm always sort of looking at issues of law and justice and family and love and how those things kind of intertwine. So history, unfortunately, provides plenty of examples of where law will actually thwart justice or enact injustice, like it did during Mussolini's time in Eternal, and to a certain extent, like it does in Bennett's. We don't want to give anything away, but the law does not effectuate justice in that book. This American father has to get it for himself. And that's really a very interesting thing. I taught a course called Justice in Fiction at Penn Law School, where I went. And so you have to, you know, when you place novels in context, like The Godfather is perfectly placed because it came right after Watergate. And there's all this political and social upheaval in the country. And that's happening a little bit again now. You know, you can't really, as a writer, you have to write something that will ring true to people and also ring true to you. So you can't write something where the good guys always prevail and the bad guys always get caught. We have different views of policing. We know different views of justice. We are trying to figure out how to make all this be fair for everyone. And so you have to write a truly modern thriller. And I hope that, you know, what happened to the Bennett's is. I tried very hard to make it one.
It was. Do you think your background as a lawyer helped you write this book? It gave you...
I think it does secretly, because, well, first of all, I'm like everybody in that you don't need a law degree to care about justice, you know?
Right.
Something like that, like a whole Ukraine question. You know, people go, what's right? What's the right thing to do? What should America do? That is really kind of a justice question. The difference in right and wrong is kind of like, I don't know, it's legal, it's moral, it's ethical. What's right? Well, gee, you know, we don't want World War III. On the other hand, I like to think that if Hitler arose again, we would stand up against him, whether or not the first country he invaded was a NATO country. You know, you have these nuances of analysis that you really have to look at and carefully consider. So I love to do that. But I think people without law degrees love that too. Sometimes being a lawyer gets in the way. You get too lawyerly about it. I try to, you know, use that as a jumping off point, but don't, but you're really looking at where the law falls short. The good news is people can change law. And that's what's great. Law doesn't get handed down. Some law gets handed down from on high, like the Ten Commandments. But basically, you know, we make the law. We decide what the law should be. We elect people that are supposed to make laws that we think are just. And that's what you hope happens. It just takes a long time to make it work.
Yeah. Now, with the Bennetts, I know you said you contacted your FBI friend. What other research did you have to do?
I did the fun naturalistic research, which was going down to Delaware and looking at this setting and looking at, I do the action stuff too. I mean, there's a fairly tough chase scenes in this. Right. I drive around these back roads. I see what's possible. I had to learn some, and we won't tell too much, but some down and dirty stuff about how you get a car painted real fast and who really does do that and who really does need that. Cause I'm such a goody goody that, you know, I mean, you got to find out if that's possible. And so you have to, so I basically give my little journey of finding about how that is. And what I'm trying not to give it away, but as you can guess, you know, a person who needs a car painted really fast is either a guy who's doing a bad thing or going to do a bad thing or a victim of a bad thing, or you're not going to go into Mako, you know?
Right.
And so I was like, gee, what do you do? And I'm just, you know, like there's a lady from the suburbs driving around, you know, going, how can I get a car painted fast? And they're like, are you in trouble? Are you lost? I'm like, no, I'm just writing a book. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you basically, honestly, you research everything because it's all got to ring true. You know, people are, especially readers, are so smart.
And, how did you do a book like this without an outline?
You know, I've done every book without an outline.
Really? There were so many twists and turns and you had to make sure it all fit. Without an outline, it's amazing to me.
It was killing me. It was killing me. And it does. And a little bit. I'm kind of intense, as you know, you're nice to call it energetic. I'm probably like annoying, but luckily there's no one around to annoy. Like, you know, I'm divorced twice. Now you know why. Only dogs can put up with me. But I think like, I basically only know what would happen next. Like I have to think, what would this character do next? Now, what's great about that is you get a character who will behave in a logical fashion. You might not agree with the character. You might not like the character. There's a lot of, you know, there's some really likable characters in the Bennetts and there's some that are unlikable, but you understand why they do what they do. And that's because I didn't figure it out in advance, you know, and partly for me, look, life is short. God, we're so lucky. And I go, if I had this big long outline, I might be calmer. Like I'd be calmer. But on the other hand, I wrote today until 2 o'clock and then I walked the dogs. And if I were just writing something that was an outline, I think it would be like Mad Libs, that I'd be filling in a blank. And oh my God, first of all, I don't want to spend my life that way. Second off, I do think that my energy and excitement about what is going to happen translates. I think it secretly translates. So when people go, do you know how it ends? I don't know. I don't know how it middles. I don't know a damn thing. I will be the dumbest author you ever interviewed.
You surprise yourself sometimes? Like, oh,
totally. I just did today. In fact, I couldn't sleep last night and I woke up at 3 o'clock and I go, oh my God, that's what should happen. And I was, it's a surprise ending. It's a surprise ending for me. It's just not, it's scary, but my only secret is I say to myself, just trust this process because you've been doing this a long time. And you know, you're not as old as I am, but you get that feeling that after you've been around a while, you have to go, okay, have a little faith. You know, have a little faith. If you work really hard, it's going to turn out.
Well, you do a great job with 30-something books. Now, the first book you wrote, which was the first book you wrote?
Everywhere That Mary Went.
Okay. Was that just a standalone? I have not read that one. I really should pick that one up.
Well, no. I actually like to think that I've improved. I mean, I really think that I try. I love to joke around, and talking to you is so fun. But I get very serious. Like when I'm writing, I'm serious. I get very serious. So I'm always trying to improve my writing. So that's nice if you want to read the first one, but I think the other one's more recent is better. So I did. It's about a woman being stalked, and it ended up being that she's a woman lawyer, a female lawyer in Philadelphia. Oh, let's think, who has like highlighted hair. Let me think. An Italian background, only she's a Catholic and I really don't have a religion. I need a religion. And basically she's a lot like me.
Okay, and so it's autobiographical.
Well, it kind of, you have to put, you know, my quote is Francis Ford Coppola, the guy who directed The Godfather, right? He said, I say this to myself every day. I know it sounds weird, but I go, he said, nothing in my movies ever happened, but all of it is true. Mm-hmm. That's what you're trying to get to in fiction. You're trying to write something that is emotionally true. So I can feel these characters. In Bennett's, I can feel Jason. In the beginning, for the first like 20 books or so, I only wrote women main characters. I thought we needed more women main characters. We kind of do. But then I also was like, well, Lisa, you don't be afraid, because I'm always afraid. I'm like, don't be afraid. Just try it. Be a man, you know, write a man. I love my dad. I was really close to my dad. Just channel him a little. You can do that. And so now I've kind of broke that seal. And now but I feel this character as a man, because I think men have such a, you know, they get hung with this, what is a hero? And if anybody who loves books is always thinking, what's the hero do? What's the heroine do? How do they act? How do you act when you're at sea emotionally? When the rug is torn up from your family and your heart is aching, and how do you go on and how do you have to lead? Now, you know, I'm a single mom. I kind of always have been. So a little bit, I kind of always had to lead. And she was looking at me like, you know, it's always, and I think moms generally, this might be a little sexist, but moms are generally the glue, mm-hmm. You know, and the bottom line is not everybody can jump ship. You know, somebody's got to keep this, like he says to himself, Jason Bennett in the book, the center has to hold. You can't, right? And we all know that. I mean, even if it's something as little as, you know, your kid's sick and you're sick too. Well, guess who's not sick today? You. You're going to take some Advil, cold and sinus, and you're going to suck it up.
Right. And, well, Jason was a wonderful family man. I mean, he was a good guy. Loved his family.
Thank you for that. He did. And I really wanted to define, you know, I love all the Marvel movies and superheroes, but a lot of these male heroes are really concerned about power. And I think that to a certain extent, men are kind of redefining what is a good dad. I mean, look at all the dads who are home now, right? People are spending, dads, I know dads who are spending more time than ever with their kids and loving it. They're looking at themselves differently. Mm-hmm. That is something that, of course, they always value, but they're really learning to value in a new way. And aren't sure they want to give up. And so what is a family man these days? What happens when your world falls apart? Who holds it together? You know, at some point Jason says, maybe a hero is just the guy who solves a problem. And that sort of came to me when I thought, he's not a showboating kind of guy. Right. I'd love to meet a guy like this. I'd love to meet
this. That's the whole fun of inventing a character, right?
Exactly. It's like, this guy is so husband material. I'm like, damn, I haven't had a date in so long.
And he's successful. And he's a successful man too.
Yeah. And he loves the kids and he's such a great guy. He's just great.
Maybe he's out there somewhere for you, Lisa.
You're a sweetheart.
You got to get out of the house once in a while.
Right, damn it. We got to get out of this house.
Are you going to be doing any in-person things to promote this book, or is it all over Zoom?
It's all over Zoom, unfortunately.
Oh, come on. You could get out for something. There's got to be something close.
I've been stayed locked down, but mm-hmm. I think I'm emerging slowly.
Okay.
When we set up the tour, we weren't touring. No, the publisher right. wasn't sending people.
Right.
So next year, I'm pretty sure I will. Okay. And maybe there'll be some speaking events as we begin to open. I'm vaxxed and I'm boosted and all that stuff. But I miss it because a lot of my tours are libraries. I mean, I love library tours. And
well, we would love to have you here.
Oh my God, I will get
there. That would be the greatest thing ever.
I will get there. I promise you, I'll get there. That is a promise.
Thank you. Oh my God, that would be so great. You hear that, everybody? She promises she's going to come to Syosset.
Meet you, girl.
And we would love to have you. That would just be like the greatest pleasure for us.
It's the most fun gigs for me ever because, first of all, I love meeting readers and I just love the whole feel of a library. You know, I just do.
Yeah. And your books are very popular here. We We recommend them all the time. They go out. We get a ton of copies, and they just fly off the shelf. So the journal has been so popular. I've been using it for, you know, a lot of book groups that I have that ask me. I've been having them do that. And like I said, eventually I hope I'm going to be doing it, and I look forward to that.
Well, I appreciate that. And this is just me thanking you just as a person who loves books. And, you know, my family really loved me, but they didn't really get the whole reading thing. Like, they were always, go out and play. My mother was always, you're going to ruin your eyes. Our whole life, stop reading, you'll ruin your eyes. She didn't even understand it. And, but it was the library, because I always feel like when I just want you to know that, you know, even a community as lovely as yours, you know, you don't really know who's, you don't really know what goes on behind closed doors. You don't really know who's walking into your threshold. You don't know if they're getting the support they need at home. And even though my parents loved me, they didn't really quite get that. The library got it. I felt like this is my club, man. I'm just happy that you exist, and I'm grateful to you for what you do. And I know that not everybody can tell you that, but all you've done through this pandemic and the curbside stuff and the hours,
yes, did.
I see, you know, you look like, for a while, you look like you're in there for yourself, and it was all dark. And I'm like, poor Evelyn, holding the fort for the podcast.
Yeah, and no, we're all doing podcasts. We've been doing them. It's been, you know what? Think about it. If it didn't happen, you and I probably wouldn't even be talking right now.
I know. I love it. I was so happy.
This is the only silver lining out of the whole pandemic, is that we get to engage with authors that are not here. You know, you can't come to every library, but you can certainly take an hour or two or three out of your day and speak with bookstores or speak with libraries.
Absolutely.
Go on Facebook Live. Like I told everybody, don't miss it this Monday night. It's fabulous. It's just so great. And she shows clips. I don't know what clips are coming up, but the clips you showed at the
more.
But for those of you who haven't read Eternal, what you did last year when Eternal came out, you had clips from Italy. You gave away a Gucci pocketbook. I mean, you were just, that was just amazing. But you could still find those on your Facebook page.
Yes, they're really a good companion to the book. And the research videos for What Happened to the Bennetts will be there too. And I'm going to do, for the Sacred book, it's 20 videos of Sicily, because I went there. And, well, I just love to be able to bring people there. Because like you say, you look for the light. Not everybody can travel right now.
Right.
I mean, I got in right before Omicron. Or between Delta and Omicron.
You were in Italy then.
I went to, we were in vacuum sealed for 10 days because I couldn't write the book.
Yeah.
Unless I had gone, it's the only thing I did. Interestingly, Sicily was ahead of the curve. You didn't get in a restaurant unless you showed vaccine. Their vaccination rates are very high. So, you know, I felt pretty safe and I got it done. So all that stuff will be on the website. And so it will be for What Happened to the Bennetts too.
That's so terrific that you do that. It's so nice for it's the interaction. It's just fabulous. Did Francesca go with you, I hope?
No. Unfortunately, my assistant and best friend, Laura, went with me.
Oh, okay.
He's working on her second novel. She had her first novel published.
I read Ghosts of Harvard. I also spoke to her when it came out, which was
wonderful. I know, you're so nice.
It was a great, great book. I really enjoyed it.
That's
she's a wonderful author, just like her mama. It's great. The apple does not fall far from the tree.
Get anywhere in your King of Prussia, you got to email me. You have my email.
I've never been around that area, I don't think. You're close to Philly or no?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I've been
I'll get up there then. I'm getting up there next book if you have me.
I will have you with open arms. We would be thrilled. Aww, I can't think of anything better. That would be like the greatest thing.
You are so warm. Thank you.
Great. So for everybody listening, March 29th, What Happened to the Bennetts comes out, please call, reserve your copies, and we'll have them for you. So thank you, Lisa, so much.
You are the best. Stay safe until we see each
other. Thank you. You too. I hope everybody stays healthy and go outside. Yeah. I'm looking now. It's 64 degrees. Go ride a horse.
Exactly. Thank you so much.
It's beautiful. Thanks thank again. You, Lisa. It was great talking
care,
to
honey.
You. Take too. Care. We're going to close the chapter now of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.